This is Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Americans all across the country are grappling with limited movements and a lot more time at home. For many refugees, this is familiar territory. As Heath Drusen reports, their insights can be valuable to coping with life under lockdown.
Fi, aman, wawa'am.
Wawi'am.
Wawi'am.
Afia, which means?
Lived with his family in safety and harmony.
That's Sawan Swidan's recording of an Arabic lesson with his son Becker at their Boise, Idaho home. Like many Americans, Swidan and his wife, Duha Ali, have a lot more time with family the past 6 weeks because of COVID-19. But they've been under lockdown before, and under much more dire circumstances.
The most dangerous part was the snipers, actually, everywhere.
The husband and wife lived through two U.S. invasions in their homeland of Iraq before coming to America as refugees. During the most recent war, their Baghdad neighborhood was torn apart by sectarian militias and street fighting.
We lost everything in Iraq.
Back in Boise, their home for more than a decade, they're getting through the new reality in much the same way they did in Iraq, through community. Here, the threat isn't violence, but a virus. Still, it makes once mundane tasks, like grocery shopping, potentially dangerous. Ali says there's a saying in Iraq that
your neighbors is part of your family. You have to take care of your neighbors up to your eighth neighbor far from your door.
For her and Swidan, that means never going shopping without asking their neighbors what they need. It means baking up a storm, dropping off cookies, baklava, and other Middle Eastern sweets on doorsteps, and sending the kids to festoon the sidewalk with colorful chalk reminders of how to stay safe from COVID-19. One shows a hand holding up a bar of soap with a heart around it. Another has the words, stay home, with a picture of a smiling, googly-eyed alien. Swidan says that sense of community was strengthened by war in their homeland. The snipers and the militants meant leaving to get food or medical care could prove deadly. So neighbors pooled their skills and offered each other help. In Iraq, Swidan and Ali were both doctors, so they made house calls there.
If you are skilled in something, you could help a neighbor. That way they don't have to leave the neighborhood.
And the family's work on behalf of their American community goes beyond running errands and dropping off treats. They find themselves on a different kind of front line, that of healthcare workers during a pandemic. Swidan's brother Marwan reports to a Boise hospital every day to work as an infection prevention specialist. And Ali works with cancer patients and must meet them for chemotherapy appointments.
We are risking our health, our own health, but we took that oath when we joined med school and we were knowing what we're going into. So as Salwan said, it is a bit of mixed feeling, but personally, I think it's more rewarding.
Tara Wolfson, director of the Idaho Office for Refugees, says they're just some of the many refugees risking their health to keep up essential services.
They're working shoulder to shoulder with their American-born neighbors as part of the COVID response, and they're keeping our communities safe.
This pandemic has also given Ali and Swidan a chance to pass on their sense of community to their children, who have mostly grown up in America. That starts at home, looking out for each other. There, the kids put on the occasional concert to cheer up their parents.
I'm gonna play Hey Jude.
Okay, let's hear it.
That's 8-year-old Dima on the keyboards. And Swidan says looking out for each other is more than just the polite thing to do right now.
If we want to overcome this, we have to overcome it together. There isn't every man for himself, or there isn't a place for being a little bit selfish.
A reminder, perhaps, we could all use right now. Heath Drusen, Boise State, Public Radio News.
And Heath is joining us live on the line now to talk more about this. So Heath, talk a little bit more about Duha and Swidan. I mean, what was their journey like from Iraq to Boise?
Well, yeah, they lived in Baghdad. And as mentioned there, they were both doctors there, but their neighborhood basically became a war zone, and every basic thing became extremely dangerous. There were sectarian militias that would execute people. Unfortunately, Salwan's father was actually kidnapped and murdered. And so they were on a very different kind of lockdown there, where every little task could prove deadly. So what they did was they got together with their neighbors and they figured out who was good at what the different skills were. And they kind of formed a little town just with their neighbors to basically limit what people had to do, or how much they had to leave their home, to get things. So these guys being doctors, you know, they basically became the building doctors and made house calls. And if somebody had a health complaint, you know, rather than having to risk their lives to go to a clinic, they could just talk to Salwan and Duha, and they would do what they could to help them out.
Oh, wow. So how have they applied that experience to the pandemic restrictions? Because they are similar, but so incredibly different.
Right, exactly. You know, I'm certainly not equating the two situations as far as the threat to people's lives. But I think everybody can probably relate to anxiety we feel right now going to the grocery store, something that, you know, that was never something you even really thought about. And now something like going to the grocery store can feel a little bit scary. And what Duha and Salwan experienced was that on a much more intense scale, where basic life errands basically were life-threatening. And so now, you know, they come into this with an understanding of how to get through it. And they've been talking to a lot of their neighbors in Boise and helping them out. And it's kind of interesting to talk to them because they take this very seriously, but they also seem to be getting through it pretty well. And they've got a real sense of community, I think, that was built through their experience in Iraq, because I asked them if they had gotten to know their neighbors better, and they kind of laughed and they said, well, no, because when we moved in here, we went door to door and got to know them right away. So they already knew their neighbors, which, you know, I think a lot of us in the US maybe don't know all the people on our block, but they were already ahead of the curve on that.
So how would you say they're coping then with this pandemic?
They seem to be coping really well. And there was one little anecdote that didn't make it into the story that I thought was pretty interesting. I think maybe when a lot of people are turning to electronic entertainment, they actually told their kids that they weren't allowed to play video games during the pandemic, which, you know, I am not a parent myself, but I assume that's a bold move, taking away one form of passive entertainment when you've got to spend all day together.
Yeah, it is.
But they... Right. But they told their kids, they said, we're going to use this time to become closer as a family. Mm-hmm. So we want to interact as opposed to, you know, having video games. And they really, it sounds like they really have a lot of family activities that they do. And, you know, as mentioned there, they go out in the neighborhood and they make these fun chalk drawings to remind people of how to stay safe. So they seem to be coping well. You know, they say they've really kind of strengthened the bonds of their family.
Well, and it's interesting too, because what they went through in Iraq, I mean, they came through it, right? There was an end to that. So it's interesting. I wonder if just from a mental health perspective that they can walk through this figuratively, this pandemic, knowing that, you know what, we do know that we will move through this as well.
Yeah, they said that. They said exactly that. That again, they take it very seriously, but you know, they kept saying, but you know, we know we're going to get out of this. There's light at the end of the tunnel. They were very optimistic about how things are going to turn out. They think, you know, we're going to get back to normal eventually, but they're also at the same time sort of clear-eyed about the fact that it's going to be a long time before everything is back to what it was before. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, they're kind of making the best of it now. And I think they have a really good perspective for people to, you know, try to find the silver linings, even though obviously people are hurting really badly and it's not to downplay that at all.
And I wonder too, if them being, you know, doctors, I mean, even though of course they're not practicing physicians in the United States, they both still work in healthcare, if that gives them a different perspective as well.
I think it does, because they have a better understanding than most of us about what needs to be done to get through this. And I think it's encouraging to hear, you know, two folks who worked a long time as doctors and are still in healthcare now basically say, you know, we will get through this, because they have the expertise. And you heard that last line from Salwan that we have to take care of each other and we have to look out for each other and we're going to get through it better and faster if we do it that way. And that seems, you know, they seem to really believe that and be pretty optimistic.
Was there anything that surprised you or stood out to you when you were doing this story?
I think what stood out to me is how well their kids seem to be doing and kind of the perspective they had passed down to their kids, because their kids have grown up mostly in America. And so they don't have the same experience that their parents did. But it seems like, and I'm sure they have their own, you know, day-to-day turbulence, but they really seem to be doing well as a family and kind of entertaining each other. Even you heard that keyboard performance.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it was kind of cool to see.
What do you think we can all take away from them?
So I think what we can take away from them is their optimism and just how they've approached this in a really positive way. And obviously, you know, people are really having a tough time right now. There's a lot of unemployment, and I know that lives are being badly impacted right now. I think just hearing about how they lost everything in Iraq and how they really came out of that war really at the bottom and were able to rebuild things, and basically saying, you know, try to remember that the only thing you can't replace, you know, is life itself. I thought that was a pretty inspiring message.
It's always good to have you come on the show, Heath. Thanks for that report. Appreciate it.
Great talking to you, Gemma.
We've been talking with Boise State Public Radio reporter Heath Drusen. Up next, fundraising during a pandemic. I'm Gemma Gaudet. You're listening to Idaho Matters.